That was a little weak, just saying. 9 o'clock. Hey, I just want to be real with y'all real quick. I come up here today, I was running and gunning and going 100 miles an hour, which is not really unnormal for me, but I was a little bit above that, and I was fired up, and I got out of my mom's car. She brought our car because it had car seats in it for the kids. I got out of her car out here, and I'm headed to the office, and Stephen looks at me and says, "Hey, dog, your car's still running." I was like, "I guess I'll go turn it off." Hey, and another thing, I told y'all the other day that y'all were my favorite service, and y'all still are my favorite service, but I'm going to tell you, I got to thinking about that, and maybe your first service just needs to be taught a little bit more like me, so I just got on their butts this morning, and I'm just saying, the rate we're going, first service was a lot more lively and had a whole lot more going on than y'all do right now, so y'all better wake up. So what about Cody last week, man? Y'all had an awesome sermon like he always does. It was cool, right? Yeah, two or three liked it. Heck yeah. Hey, so let's just go to the deal. Since y'all ain't ready, we'll start. 4 weeks ago, we started this new series, and we entitled it Prayer. So speaking of prayer, let's pray over this thing, and let's kick it off. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for these people. Thank you for this place that we get to come in the AC, God, where we get to have encounters with you, where we get to meet you, God. And I just pray today, Lord, that you would just move me out of the way, move my thoughts out of the way, God. And I pray that you would speak this sermon, God, that you've given me through me, Lord, so that they can meet these people where they're at and where they're going through and where they're headed. And God, I just pray that we would see through a simple story in the Bible today that the power of prayer is real and the power of prayer stands back then also as it stands today, God. So we love you and we thank you, and all the people said. Amen. So before we get started, before I started this whole thing, before I knew I was going to do this series, I was at this place in my where I was getting to, I was going to preach a lot more, going here and going there and doing all this stuff, and I just felt like the Lord was calling me to change my prayer life a little bit, to change what I was doing, like make that more of a priority and make it different and not pray like I always have prayed and change things. So I began to do it at different times and different places and all this stuff, and I began to ask God, Lord, I want to level up. We've been talking about it in the office, like we need to level up. Like God never wants us to stay where we stay and where we are right now. He wants you to level up, but when you get there, you got to prepare yourself for the next level. So I get to praying, and I'm just seeking God, and I'm getting up early, and I'm getting on my knees, and I'm doing things different, and I'm praying. And a lot of you know, I do a whole lot of talking, but man, I've just been learning that I just need to sit and listen. I've been sitting in there, and I've been listening, and that's part of prayer. That's part of going with the communication of God, right? So I begin doing these things, and I begin asking God to make my prayer life more powerful, to make my prayers more meaningful, make my prayers different for me and my family and for me as a young preacher. And I say all that to say, when I did that, be careful what you pray for, because God set it up for me to have a lot of opportunities to pray. Y'all remember a couple of weeks, months ago or whatever, it seemed like there was a lot of families in the hospital out of Bethel. There was a lot of stuff going on. Connor and his family and his dad and the Gonzalez family and their mama and her wife and the Moore family lost their baby and Carter's executive pastor. And then I got asked to do my own funeral, or my first funeral, from the very front to the very end, and it was for a lady that I'd always looked up to. It was for a lady that I cared a lot about, that I knew her whole family, and it stressed me out a little bit. I was a little bit nervous, but then I remembered that Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I began to pray, and I was praying at the hospital. I was having to pray around nurses that I didn't know at all. They were all around. Pray in front of people that you don't know. Pray when it's comfortable. Pray when it ain't comfortable. I just say that to say God was making sure I was exercising my prayer life, and he wants you to exercise your prayer life. And I'll say this, when you go to praying for something and something in your life to change, when God starts working in your life, he's going to set up opportunities for you to do what you said you would pray for, and you need to get off your butt and go do the action now so that God can activate what's going on. So to say that, Cody and me, we go, he had a funeral to do, and I usually go with him if I'm not helping him do it, and I overshadow, and I just watch, and I learn, and I take all the stuff in. You know, I'm trying to be a guy that'll last, trying to be a guy that does well. I don't want to fail. I want to do good, so I jump in the truck. We go to this funeral, and on the way there, he looks at me, and he's like, "So what do the sheep need?" It was just right outside of answering ring. "What do the sheep need?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Jesus." And he looked at me like, "I ain't playing no stinking games today." And I was like, "Okay, well, in my life," and I told him everything I just told y'all about prayer and what the Lord had been speaking to me and teaching me about prayer. And then he was giving his shots, and I was giving my shots, and we got out. He did the funeral. We got back in. We headed to the hospital. We talk about prayer. We're still shooting back and forth about prayer, about you guys, about the families in here, the people in here, our families, their families, all the stuff that comes with church. We get to the hospital. We go in. We come back in, and when he picks it right back up, shooting bullets about prayer, coming coming back and forth, sharpening each other up, talking. And he drops me off the late that evening at my pickup, tells me he loves me, he shakes my hand, and then he goes, and by the way, since you got all that stuff about in your mind about prayer, get 4 sermons ready because July's yours. And I was like, gosh, he could have just told me that this morning. He said, I had to make sure you've been doing your homework. So that's why we're here. And I just say all that to say, like, my whole goal with this series is for what it did for me. I hope this series would reawaken somebody's prayer life, reawaken your prayer life if you've gotten weak or if you've gotten mad at God or if you're struggling or if you're just busy with the world, that it would reawaken something inside of you, but also to begin some prayer lives in people who didn't have one to start with or maybe just had a weak prayer life or maybe just didn't understand the power of prayer. And then also, and this is probably the main reason that I think about a lot, and I was talking about when David was a young boy, and I told you kids in here, David had a relationship with God at a young age. So what's keeping you kids from having a relationship with God at a young age? You have a relationship with your mother and your father and your grandparents because you communicate with them, because you talk to them, because you hang out with them. So I was hoping that this prayer series would build something inside of you young kids in here to begin to pray to God, to begin to speak to God in all the things and everything that you do in your life. Prayer. It should not be a program. It shouldn't be a program in our life. It should be something, a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle for us. It should be just part of us, just what we do and how we talk and how we go. And doesn't matter where we are, but we just pray. It should be top priority. We talked about that, how we make everything else top priorities in our life and we make this and that. But then we realize and sit back, man, I haven't even prayed today. Some of us need to make it top priority. We need to get back to prayer being the top of our life. It's our lifeline. It's how we talk to the Father in heaven. It's how we all be able to talk to him and ask him and do these things. We all need to be exercising prayer. So I don't know about you, but for me, prayer in my life, even without me knowing it, prayer took me out of my old life. Prayer began to take me out of my old life. I told you I would sit in that office and I would pray through the wall over my wife and over our marriage and over our kids. And I believed then, and I believed that it was powerful, but I didn't know then everything that God was doing on the inside of me. I didn't know then everything that he was doing on the inside of Marley and our family and our home and our future. It drew me closer to God in the hardest season. It grew my faith in God. It changed our parenting. It gets me mentally ready to go and do where God wants me to go, where I go to preach and go to do these things. When I think I can't do it, prayer gets me through. Prayer gets me the sermon I need and the things that I need, and God just prepares me. But also, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for prayer over my life, but also for these two who prayed right here for me. My mom's sitting right here. Man, if you're praying for yourself, don't ever forget to start praying for somebody else. Your power and your prayer for someone else is more powerful than you know. Your future, and I believe this with all of my heart, and I say this, and I said this first service, note takers, write it down. Your future and my future is going to be shaped around your prayer life. Your future, till you die, your future is going to be shaped around your prayer life. If we have a weak prayer life, I believe we're going to have a weak life. We're going to be trying to do this, and we're going to be trying to do that. We're going to be trying to cover up the lies that we throw under the rug, and we kind of tell the truth here, and we don't over here, and we want to get this money, and we got to fix this marriage, and we got to help our kids, and they run, and they leave, and all this stuff starts piling up on us because we have a weak prayer life. But if we have a strong prayer life, I know and I believe with all of my heart that we will have a strong life. In week 2, we talked about Hannah. Hannah, her future, it rested on what? Her prayer life. Someone shout prayer. Man, it rested on her future. She had to pray. She believed her prayers. She wanted children, and she was living around someone who was just popping them out left and right and wasn't having any trouble. It's just like our lives today. I know there's women in here that want children. I know you're struggling. I know it's hard, but don't stop waiting. Don't get weak in the waiting. Keep believing your prayers. Keep acting out what you need to do for the Lord. Keep serving and seeking God continually, and he'll answer your prayers just like he answered Hannah's. And then I talked about the power of writing them down. This is something that's just worked in my home. My mom has done it her whole life, and it's just something cool because you get to see when you get down the road, man, I used to be this Christian, but now I'm matured to this one. And I used to be here, but now I'm here. And then you get to go back, you know, and you get the reminder, and you get the reminders in your life of where God worked in your life and where he did things that you never could have seen or never could have imagined him doing in your life. And you get to read out these things and these scriptures, and it just takes you back, and you're just going through the Bible again, going through your thoughts, going through what you're doing. And then also, the coolest part about it is when we're dead and gone, your kids get to go pick your spiral up and they get to read the prayers that you prayed over them and the prayers over your marriage and the prayer over all the things that you guys went through. And then I talked about a mother's prayer and all my mom's prayers in that book, how cool that was and how awesome that was and how that drove me. But I also talked about how her prayers didn't work right then. Her prayers didn't work that day. They didn't work the next day. They didn't work the next week. It took a few years for this idiot that you're looking at to start walking out God's plan for my life. But you know what? God heard her prayers back then, and God was using those things back then, and God set me up, and he protected me, and he kept doing the things that she prayed for years ago to get us to where we are today. So mothers, never underestimate the power of your prayer. Week number three, we talked about forgiveness. David, man, he screwed up. We all learned we're all going to screw up. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Everybody shout all. And fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect. Nobody gets the sticker. Like, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to fail at times in our lives. But thank God we can come back through prayer and we can ask for forgiveness, realign our lives with God's will. And then God, we talked about, is moving on. God moved on. God blessed the new child that David had. God blessed it and God moved on. And we talked about, are we going to go on with God? So if you did your forgiveness prayer, are you moving on with God? Are you going with God? Or are you just sitting back and God's moving on? What's that look like in your life? Then week number four, Cody, last week, he talked about Peter. He talked about the power of your circle. How many of you got a powerful circle? Raise your hand. Come on, not very many. Maybe we need to work on our circles. Maybe we need to work on who we're hanging out with. Whoever you hang out with, show me your friends, show me your future. Work on your circle. We got to have a good circle. There's power also in the church, power in the church's prayers. Never think that your prayers are not powerful. But my favorite part about Cody's sermon last week, and if you missed it last week, write it down this week and think about it all week this week. Action activates the work of God. Action activates the work of God. Nothing happened until Peter stood up. The Bible says when Peter stood up, the chains fell off. When Peter stood up, the chains fell off. He didn't sit there and whine and whimper. When he got up, the angel said, get up. He got up. Boom. God started working right then. God started leading him right then. So I'll just say, whatever you're going through, whatever you're living right now, pray and then back some action up behind it. Nothing happened until Peter got up. And then my second part of his sermon last week was awesome. I learned my new favorite word. I've been saying it all week. I've been trying to spell it all week. We didn't learn this in Guthrie all those years, but it's expectancy. When we pray, by God, get on your knees and pray with expectancy. Don't be just going and praying because everybody said to pray. Don't go to pray because we've been up here for 4 weeks talking about prayer. Get on your knees and get with your God and say, God, I'm praying right now with expectancy. Last night, I came up here and I prayed right here on my knees, right here in front of this place, and I prayed, God, to work in the people of the lives that will be here tomorrow, God. Move in this place, Lord. Let this place be different. Let my mind speak the things and do the things that you want to speak, God, not what I'm thinking. And I sat here and I prayed with expectancy, and I prayed for the worship team and every one of these mics of the band and all this stuff up here. And I don't know if y'all noticed, but it was fire this morning. Did y'all see that? Naomi about had me wanting to run through the wall over here. Pray with expectancy. Pray with some passion. Don't be doing it just to be doing it. Let's pray with some passion. Now we'll go to the sermon, today's sermon. So as I was studying and I was praying, I was coming up with this last week. I wanted to get through all the sermons, and I wanted to hear Cody's sermon, and then I wanted to do my recap, my closing of this series today. But all I could hear when I was studying it, and I'm thankful, God, hey, look, God ain't going to give you nothing you can't handle. God knows Cole Hatfield is simple. So he gave me one simple word all week, power. Power. It just kept coming to my mind. It kept coming in my head. And I was just like, man, what the heck? But I just was thinking about that. Like, I want to live a powerful life. Don't you? I want to be powerful. I want to be a powerful husband to Marley. I want to be a powerful father to my kids. I want to raise up powerful young men that love Jesus and that they're gamey and they go get it and they don't back up. And I want to raise some gamey kids, some powerful kids. And I want to be powerful in the kingdom of God. So what is power? Power is authority over everything that will try to detour us, over everything that will come in your life and try to steal, kill, and destroy from you and your family and your future. You have power over it. If you believe in Christ and you're born again, you've got that power. It's inside of you. So use the power. Don't let anything detour you. Keep your eyes on the Lord and let everything work through the power. And it gives us strength to act effectively. All of us can act. We act every day. If you got a job or if you have kids, you're acting. But how about this? How about we start walking effectively? Let's go act, but let's be effective. Let's go. Me and Marley have been talking about the TNTs. What's TNT mean? Takes no talent. I mean, if you're walking from your barn to your house, there's a piece of trash, pick it up. Takes no talent. If Marley, I really want her to change the poopy diaper, but she's busy. I need to go change the poopy diaper. It takes no talent. You just a wet wipe, boop. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we start doing the TNTs of our lives, it will start making you that way in every area of your life. It will grow you in every area. You won't just be this slob just walking around, man. You'll be tending to stuff. You'll be doing things in your life that matter. So, to act effectively, I want to act effectively in the church. I want to act effectively in my building my relationship with God and leading my family. But God empowers his believers. You got to know that the power that God gives us is the power inside of you. It's inside of me if we walk and talk and pray to God at all times. Power in my house when I walk in there and turn the switch on. Boom. I can see. It happens right then. This is the same power that I have when I pray with passion and when I pray with expectancy. So what's the opposite of power? Weakness. What's weakness? Well, the weakness means that the state of or condition of lacking strength. Can I just say real quick, if you're enlisted in the army of God, you lack in no strength. You are strengthened. If you have said yes to the Lord and no to the old guy or no to the old girl, God has given you the strength that you need to get through whatever you're going through, to get through what you're going to go through later. God has empowered you, but you got to know and you got to believe and I got to believe that I'm filled with the power and I'm filled with the Spirit and I know that God's going to take me through this thing and I'm going to do it with joy like the Word talks about. Nehemiah 8:10, joy of the Lord is my strength. Not my joy, not my dad's joy, not your joy, not a joy from the paycheck, not a joy from a bunch of drinks at the bar. No, the joy from the Lord. It's what's going to sustain us. Like, let's stop trying to get caught up in these little deals where we feel good for a while and we feel good for a day or we feel good for a week. We got to know that we got to sustain. We need to last. We need longevity with our walk with God. We have so many people that used to be like me and just falling off the wagon and getting back on and falling off the wagon and getting back on. And if that's you and you're there right now, that's okay. But look, the getting off the wagon's got to become less than getting on. Get on the wagon. Stay on the wagon. Find how you can last. Find how you can last in the kingdom of God. We need some longevity, and it starts with the men. It starts with the men in the home. Let's lead our families to have longevity in the Christ. Like, let's go. Let's have some longevity. Let's last. Let's make this thing last. We make everything else last. Let's make our walk with God last. Shout joy. Joy. Holy cow. Shout joy.
Joy.
Come on. James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. The Bible says we're going to face them. The Bible says we're going to go through them. But it also says, take heart, I've already overcome the world. So if we're living in the world and God's already overcome the world, what are we scared of? What's holding us back? What's bringing us back? What's keeping us from joy? We need joy. We need joy at all times. We need to walk with joy. Let's look at the story that we all know. It's a man who constantly stayed in prayer, a man who constantly stayed in joy. He went through hard things, and he was joyful, and he was always praying. Let's talk about Daniel. Daniel, he was a servant. Real quick, Nebuchadnezzar has besieged Jerusalem. He's come. He's taken it over. He came, and he tells his chief eunuch, he says, bring me several men that I can train up for a few years, and they're going to work for me. They're going to work in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, and one of them was Daniel. Good, strong, good-looking, smart Daniel. And they bring him up there, and they take him from his home, and all these things start happening, and he gets a vision, and he interprets it for the king, and all this stuff starts happening. He interprets a few more things, and he's just doing good for this guy, right? So this guy, then King Darius comes up, and he sets him above all the officials. A guy from the outside, he sets him up all the officials. And then he has plans, the Bible says, to set him up over the whole kingdom. Well, how many of you know, that made some people mad. Y'all ever work somewhere and got you a raise or got you somebody left, now you're the new boss and everybody gets mad? They're over here talking crap about you. They're over here trying to make you mess up. They're over here, they're not giving you all the information so it looks like you can't do the job they just gave you. They're over here Facebooking about you, texting about you, all this stuff. That's what's going on right here. It happened back then, it's happening today. So I just want to say that to say, the Bible said they sought to find complaint in Daniel, but they could not find any. It says they could not find any because they didn't have any ground because he was so faithful. Can I just say, if you and I would be so faithful, nobody could find complaint against us. If we always told the truth, no complaint against us. If we always seek the Lord, no complaint against us. If we always did these things, we would never be caught up in controversy with all this stuff, most likely. Just be faithful. Be faithful. So they come against Daniel. How many of you know the enemies you got, they ain't going to stop till they see you fail. Unless they don't know your God. The law was made. They made a law. They said, don't pray for 30 days to anybody but this king, because they knew Daniel, by God. They knew Daniel was going to stay and pray to his king. They knew Daniel was going to pray to the living God. Daniel 6:10-16. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king, concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any other god, man, within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered, he said, the thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. 13, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, now, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. 16, then the king commanded that Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. The king declared to Daniel, so he tells Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. Can I just say real quick? Life may look scary, life may suck, and you may not understand what's going on, and you may think that there's nothing that you can do and nothing's ever going to get better in your life. But I'm just going to say right here, we're talking about some lines. Okay. We're talking about some lines, some real lines, y'all. Daniel's fixing to go in the den with these suckers. Daniel's about to go in there with these lions that are hungry, these lions that only get fed when someone does something wrong and they put something in there. Daniel, he's going in. I wonder, and I've thought about this, and you can go home and think about this. Do you think that he was so much with his walk with God that he was like, put me in. I bet I kill every one of them suckers. Or do you think he put up a fight? Do you think it took 10 or 12 of them to put in there? I mean, I don't know. I just think about that, though. But I just want you to see, and you got to remember, this is a set of lions he's going to. So whatever lines are in your life, you got to believe that my God and your God will deliver you. And the best part about our God and my God is this right here. He does not stop. He'll deliver you, but then he ain't going to stop there. He's going to deliver you, take care of you. If you're seeking him continually and you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing for the Lord, he's going to do those things, but then he's going to do something after. Let's see what happens. Daniel 6, 19 through 23. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, shout continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. 23, then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be brought up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in God. Look, another deal where God comes in clutch. He's there. He's ready. Just like Peter, the night before Peter that Cody talked about last week, he was going to be murdered the next day. God came in. God sent the angel the night before. Don't you know? I just say this all the time, and I believe this all the time, and I believe that there's power in it and there's truth in it. Do not get weak in the waiting. Don't get weak in the waiting. Your God knows when he's going to deliver you. He knows what's going on. He knows what they're Facebooking. He knows what they're saying. He knows how they're acting. He knows all the things that the enemy has coming against you, that's scheming around you and around your family. But if we just don't get weak in the waiting like Daniel, and we just keep praying, and we just keep falling to our knees, and we just keep coming to God, he's going to deliver us, and he's going to take care of those. But you got to know, and you got to trust, and you got to believe with all of your heart, not just a little bit of it, but all of it, that the lions and mouths in your life that are coming against you, God's closed those things, and he's going to take care of you, and we just need to wait on the king to come and take the rock away. He's going to take you out of there. He's going to take us out of there. We're not going to stay there. Think about it. We always talk about this here. Man, if Hayes was in there, my little boy, you can bet your butt I'm going to do something to get him out. If we're living for God, he's going to do something to get you out. But you got to pray, and you got to believe, and I got to believe, and we can't get weak in the waiting. I love what he said. He said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you serve continually, saved you? Continually. Like, we make this thing so hard. We make this life so hard. And I'm one, I was that guy. And sometimes got to renew my mind, Romans 12:2, renew my mind. But if we would just get to a place where we serve God continually, where we just look straight ahead, where we get our butts up in the morning and we start our day with God and not with Facebook and not with who they're texting us about and not what they're talking about at the job and all the things that gets us sidetracked and gets us away from God, if we would just serve God continually, I believe with all of my heart, it would just take us away from all the crap that we get ourselves into. That's good right there. If we're looking at God, if we're seeking God, if we're serving God, if the Lord is for you, who be against you? 22, I believe I was delivered because I was found blameless. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, if we keep our prayer life with the Lord, if we keep talking to the Lord, you and I, we're going to be found blameless more than we ever have before. Because I don't know about you, but before, man, I could run this mouth and I could get myself into situations and I could, well, the enemy likes to work on my brain. And, well, I bet they're doing this, trying to get you over here to go do that and live here and do that. You know, all this stuff that the enemy wants to do to me and wants to do to you as well, don't act like he don't. We gotta just continually serve God so that all that stuff goes away. We don't have to worry about it. God saves Daniel, but he don't stop there. God's gonna do a work in your life, but he ain't gonna stop there. What about enemies? Any of you got any enemies? Some of you got more enemies than some others. Some of you ain't got none at all. Don't worry. God's gonna take care of your enemies. God's gonna be there for you. He's gonna do that. Notice, David wasn't mean to his enemies. David wasn't worried about what his enemies were saying. David wasn't coming at those people that were trying to kill him. David wasn't worried about it. He wasn't worried about what they were doing. What was David doing? Sorry, Daniel. I did that first service too. Daniel. What was Daniel doing? Daniel was doing what Daniel always did. He was doing what he'd always done. He was praying and serving the Lord. Like, is that not simple enough? How many of you are thankful God knows us, right? God knows that Cole Hatfield's pretty simple. That's why he gave me one word power, and that's why this right here, I love this, because that has got to be simple enough. We just need to pray and we need to seek God. We need to pray and we need to seek God. We don't need to be worrying about this or that or trying to do these huge things. We just need to be praying and seeking God. That's simple enough, right? Me and you, we got to stop worrying about people. We got to stop worrying about what they're doing. I'm not saying don't be going and loving on them. I'm not saying be a light. I'm not saying don't be a light. I'm just saying have some discernment in who's in your circle. Have some discernment who's speaking into your life and know that God is in control. And then when you start walking with the Lord, the people you're supposed to be around will be in your life. Daniel 6:24, let's see what he did to his enemies. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke every bone in their body. The enemy was taken care of by the Lord because David had been walking with God, because David never stopped praying to God. I hope y'all see and y'all got to know, and y'all can't leave here without knowing this. I hope y'all see. Connor, if y'all come, I'll start wrapping it up. Please, sir. Daniel was an exile. Daniel probably had plans for his life. Daniel may have wanted to go be a rancher. Daniel may have wanted to go be a teacher. Daniel may have wanted to go do this or do that like we all do. But he was taken away from where he was grown. He was taken away from there. He was in a place. He was in the middle of a bunch of people that were obeying the things of the world. He was in a place surrounded by people that were seeking whatever that king at that time was wanting them to do. They were all just falling down saying, yeah, whatever you want me to do. Yeah, don't kill me. Just don't mess with me. Yeah, we'll pray to you. What's your name? Isn't that our world today? We're all living in the middle of a bunch of stuff trying to pull us from our faith, trying to tell us this is okay and that's okay. The word of God stands true. Kids, be like Daniel. Don't be like me when I was in school. Man, whatever they were doing, even after school, college, whatever they were doing, I was doing. If they were doing it, I was doing it. I was more worried about what they thought of me and what they were going to say about me and if they were going to be my friend and in this or that. Like, I was more worried about them than I was God, who created me in his image. Like, kids, never get to a place where you're that away. Stand out. Go against the crowd. Seek God. He's got plans for you guys. Young girls, he's got a husband for you out there somewhere. Young boys, he has a wife for you somewhere. Mama, daddy, pray for those wives and kids. Me and Marley do that a lot. We say, Lord, I don't know where Hayes' wife is, but God be with her. And also, Lord, please be with the parents that are raising that young girl so that they can raise her up in the kingdom of God, so that when these two come together, they come together and your name is one unit. Like, kids, don't follow the crowd, man. You'll follow the crowd for a week or two. Next thing you know, it's 10 years down the road. Trust me, I know. Stop following what people are doing and start knowing and reading your Bible and praying to the God in heaven who loves you and has created you and has plans for you. Daniel, he was surrounded by these people who hated him, and the only reason they wanted him there was because of the things that he could do. He interpreted those dreams. He interpreted those writings on the wall. He interpreted those things for the king. So, heck yeah. Somebody who ain't seeking God's wanting somebody who's got some power over them, right? Pay attention who you're hanging out with. Pay attention who you're letting in your life. Pay attention where you're letting your kids go stay. Pay attention where they're sleeping over. Pay attention where all this stuff is going on in your life. Pay attention. He was constantly being pulled and tempted to leave his faith, but he didn't. He didn't have a big church praying for him. He didn't have a big old people right there around him praying for him. Man, he had to choose. What am I going to do? He saw everybody around him sitting there praying to this other dude forever, and he said, you know what? I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to my house, look towards Jerusalem, and I'm going to pray to God. He went against the grain. Man, some of us, I wrote this down like, I'm not being mean. Like, I was this guy for a long time, and there's people in here like this today. We're so weak-minded that we just do what they do. Man, don't drink what they drink. Don't smoke what they smoke. Don't look at what they look at. Don't go and do these things. Don't talk like that. God's got more for you and also for them. And you know what? If you're the one that says no to it, they may come with you. That's how he works. But somebody's got to have enough heart, and somebody has to have enough boldness in the Word of God and the life that they have set before him to do the things of God so that things can start happening in the kingdom. Action activates prayer. The bottom line is simple today. Life can be good, but also there's going to be some bad seasons. We're going to walk through them. The Bible says that we're going to go through trials and tribulations, but he says, man, have heart, take heart. I've already overcome the world. Know that. But no matter who gets sick, and no matter who dies, and no matter who leaves the family, and no matter who comes against you, and no matter all the things that are going on in your life or have gone in your life, like no matter, if we don't have control over it, know in your heart that the one you pray to has control over it. If we stand like Daniel and we just get to picking ourselves up like Daniel, man, he had no control over those lions. You have no control over anybody else. You have no control over anything. No control over the people coming against you. No control over your spouse. You have no control. Daniel had no control over them lines, but man, he went in there knowing that who did have control of it. So as you walk out your life, as you walk out your plan, if you leave these doors today, know that he knows and that he's in control. But we got to serve him continually. Like, we can't be having this half-hearted walk with God and just expect him to save us from the lions. Daniel was all in. Are you all in? Are you all in? Are you still, I'm going over here and they're going over there. I'm going to go with them. God will sustain us. We got to stay sustained. We got to get to a place where we last. So many people come in on fire and then they die out. Stay and last. Stay and last. Continue to serve God and never stop praying. And my challenge is this. Never stop praying and never stop putting action behind your prayer. Get out on your knees. Get by yourself. Get with your people. Get with your circle. Pray with passion. Pray with expectancy. But then do some action. Do something. God's already done a whole lot of things for all of us. He sent his son here to die, to take the beatings, to take all the things, to take everything that we should have taken, that we still deserve. So now it's time for us to put some action behind our prayers. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this series. I thank you for these people. I thank you, God, for the power of prayer, Lord. I know that it seems like it's just something that we do. It's something that we know and we should do. But God, I pray that when we leave here today, that we would see the true power in it. That it is a gift from you, Lord, to be able to speak to you, to be able to pray to you, to be able to give our life to you, to be able to give our troubles to you, God, to pray over the things that we have no control over, Lord. I pray that you would light fires inside of everybody in here, new fires, God, to pray different than they've always prayed, to do things different, Lord. We know that our action will make you do some things, Lord. We know that you want to see us work. We know that you want us to know that we're in it to win it, God. I pray that it would be a lifestyle to these people, God, that maybe it's not a lifestyle for. And Lord, when they make it their lifestyle, when they make the change, when they make the switch, God, bless them so much that they know that they know it's because they've been praying to you, that they know it's because they've continually been seeking you, God. Lord, we expect you to move. I expect you to move in the families that go home and take this prayer series with them. I expect you to move, God, and I expect them to put the action in, Lord. We know you and we love you and we thank you for all of the things that you do and all the things that you're going to do. And God, if we don't understand, just let us pray anyway. Let us pray anyway. If we don't know what else to do, God, let us just pray. Let us believe, God. Let us just know and just instill the power inside of us that we have, God, to have the joy, to have the strength, to just pray, to walk through these things that we're going to go through, Lord. Just like Cody last week talked about, God, let us stray from the civilian pursuits, Lord. Let us quit worrying about what they're talking about. Let us quit worrying about who's running this or running that or doing this or doing that or buying this or buying that. Let us just worry about seeking you, God. And let's go back to first week, God, where we said, let's start the day with you. Let's give you our first fruits, God, so that we have a good set day. So that you're the leader of our day, so that you'll be the leader of our lives, that we're not worried about what's going on around us or what somebody's trying to do against us. Lord, protect us and continually protect this church, protect our families. And God, just give everybody in here a drive. The kids, the parents, the grandparents, a drive to just serve you continually in all things, in all that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.